Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. It is 8 a.m. Thursday, August the 4th. Alabama and Auburn getting underway today with fall camp. We got a lot of college football that we're going to get to. Talking teams that will be favored in every game. As of right now, according to Brett McMurphy. Get to that in just a moment as we continue to roll right here on Jocks 94.5.
Roll right along up I-65 to Coleman. Go see our friends Bill Smith Buick GMC. They are GMC's dealer of the year. They're also Buick's dealer of the year, and they have 75% of their customers go back and see them again to buy another car because they have a great experience. It's a pretty remarkable record when you consider that. Go see Andy Cole. Go see Jonathan Yeager. They'll take great care of you. They'll take great care of me. I've been up there, bought two cars from them, have had an absolute blast dealing with everybody up there in Coleman. Just such a short drive, too. I can be there in no time. And they have that used car superstore. Makes such a difference because you can go in, you can find a car that fits your budget, regardless of what that budget may be. Go get yourself right now, brand new GMC Sierra 1500 Limited with the Denali package. When you apply all the rebates, you're going to get it for $5,000 off the sticker price. $69,380 is the sticker price. They'll give it to you $64,544. Deals like that that keep people coming back, and it's deals like that that make you the dealer of the year. Go see him in Coleman. Just a short drive, or you can have it delivered right to your driveway at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
All right, Action Sports Network says currently Air Force, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Utah are the teams that will be favored in every game that they play as of today. So we're going to save Bama, Georgia, Ohio State for last. You want to get in on your most dangerous game for those three teams, any one or all, 800-239-9569. 800-239-WJOX. If you want to be a part of the show, get in. Tell us who you think the most dangerous games on the schedule for those teams are, as the Action Sports Network believes they'll be undefeated in every, favored in every game that they play. We're going to go to Oklahoma next, GMAC, and just kind of look at that schedule, that team, them apparently being favored in every game that they're going to play this year. I think the easy one right off the bat, well, for you, I mean, let's just, they're at Nebraska week three. So.
Oh, lost.
And then they got K-State after that.
So, oh, I mean, wow.
That's like the most difficult two-game stretch in college football this year. It's easy to just look at it and say, okay, Cotton Bowl, Texas, Quinn Ewers, we know the weapons they're going to have back. Sark looks like he's getting things heading in the right direction. Did not finish strong, but got off to a good start, so early depth won't be as much of a concern. I have one other that I look at and say, man, I just don't like Oklahoma in that spot. I don't know if it's as dangerous of a game as Texas, but I mean, Oklahoma right now, when you look at the two teams, maybe should be favored in that game. I don't think they should be a big favorite in that game. But right now, based on what's returning on both sides, of course, new coaching staff at Oklahoma, you downgrade them just a little bit there. But it's easy to just go Texas. Which direction would you go with Oklahoma if they're scheduled to be favored in every game as the most dangerous that they will play?
Oklahoma to me is a little bit tricky because I think the Big 12 in general is a little bit tricky. And I think it's the deepest league, partly because it's the league was probably the most parity this year. I'm not sure there's going to be a team in the Big 12 that gets to 10 wins. I have a difficult time forecasting that right now. I can see a decent amount getting to 9, but 10 feels difficult because even Oklahoma with what they bring back, and I like Oklahoma this year, I think they're all right. I don't know if they're anywhere near as good as what they've been in recent years. So I say that by saying, when you look at their schedule, at Nebraska is a tough one. I don't care what anyone says. I think that's the toughest four-game stretch for them is at Nebraska, Kansas State, at TCU, Texas. I think 3-1 through there, and you're really feeling good about what you have. But I think 2-2 is extremely possible. Then you look at the back half of the schedule. I don't think Iowa State is going to be very good. I think Baylor's TBD. They get them at home, so that's not the worst situation in the world. At West Virginia is brutal, but I don't think West Virginia is quite ready to take that next step. Oklahoma State in Bedlam, that'll be an interesting one, naturally, because Oklahoma State should be pretty dang solid on both sides of the ball. Got the win last year And I like Oklahoma's matchup there, so I think that game's a bit of a toss-up, even though Oklahoma State returns a little bit more. And then I think a game you need to be real careful in, because Texas Tech at this point, they might be playing for their bowl eligibility life. If you look at Texas Tech's schedule, it's a beast. They get Houston and at NC State in the non-conference. Couple that with a 9-game Big 12 conference schedule. Their only win that they're guaranteed to get is Murray State week one. But if somehow Joey McGuire in year one can have Texas Tech sitting at 5-6 heading into that game, and you're going to Lubbock, that place will be a zoo. So I think that game's very, very tricky. So if I had to pick the toughest game for them, it's Texas, followed closely by Nebraska, followed closely by TCU.
I look at one that you mentioned, and I don't know if I'm ready to say that it's more dangerous than the Texas game. Obviously, neutral site, we know what that one's going to mean, but you mentioned it, and that's at West Virginia on November the 12th. Now, of course, this would probably mean that JT Daniels is available and successful as to what is happening with him under Neil Brown. But you get him after Baylor. Well, first off, at Iowa State, then Baylor. Then you got to go to West Virginia with Oklahoma State the next week. I just think sandwiching that in between home games with Baylor and Oak State, then going all the way over to West Virginia on November the 12th, to me, that's a really dangerous spot. And I agree with you. I don't think West Virginia, just from an overall talent perspective just yet, is where Oklahoma is. But in that spot right there between those two games and having a road game at Iowa State the week before that begins, I think that's just a really difficult spot. I'm still going to go Texas just as the most dangerous game because of overall talent and because of how I think Sark's got that thing moving. But I think that West Virginia game would be a very close second. Let's move to Utah and the Utes, because this is an interesting schedule. Obviously, we know where they open up. We spent a lot of time talking about it. We talked to Pat Dooley about it earlier in the week.
When
we
toughest game Florida. Already, right there.
I don't think there's any doubt. When you go to exactly what that game means for both teams, what it's going to look like for both teams, that's a monster game that I personally don't feel like we're talking enough about. Not us, right. But just in general as college football people, college football fans. We need to be spending a little bit more time on that game because of what it's going to be. But when you look at this Utah schedule top to bottom, there are a couple other teams, games, players on the schedule that are generating a ton of noise. But when you look at just the most dangerous game for Utah this upcoming season, a team, according to the Action Sports Network, that is scheduled to be favored in every one that they play this year, which one sticks out as the most dangerous for you?
Utah against Florida. It's a no-doubter. And that's not even like the SEC homer in me. I just know that week one, you never really know what you're going to have. And I would much rather play Billy Napier's team, being a first-year coach. They're going to tape of Louisiana to figure out, all right, what's this team going to look like? And Florida could come out looking completely different. Because Billy Napier, yeah, we know what he did at Louisiana. But I also know what he did at Arizona State. And know what he did at Alabama, and know what he did at Clemson. So, like, he's got some different backgrounds. And at Louisiana, obviously, philosophically, he did what he felt like he needed to do to win a lot of games, and he did win a lot of games. But he might be more spread. And next thing you know, Utah comes out ready to defend the run, and all of a sudden you get four wides. Like, whoa, that's, as someone that's done that, it stinks. It's terrible to have to deal with that uncertainty going into a plan. So I think knowing that it's week one, if that game was week two or week three, I think Utah'd have a much better chance to be able to diagnose what Florida might look like, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, etc. But week one, dude, that's a doozy. And I do not envy Utah having to make that road trip going against the unknown like that.
Yeah, there's a couple other spots that look a little bit tricky. Obviously, USC, just because the talent and the hype going into that stadium, that team this year. But you get USC at home on October the 15th, and it's a game before your off week. So you guys are going to be a little bit more energetic there because you're going to have time off after that game. But I do look at playing at Oregon on November the 19th. That's just late in the season to be making that trip. And I don't think Oregon is a more talented team. Don't think Oregon will be a better team. The reason why it would not qualify as the most dangerous game for me is I just think Utah mentally has Oregon. I mean, I think they own that team. I think that's not one that Utah's going to be
able to do. What would give you that impression?
Well, two blowouts last year, mainly, would be the one.
Like 70-7 combined score? That's one of them. Was.
A little bit. We'll probably lean into that just a little bit there. But I'm with you. It's at Florida. We've talked about the humidity. We've talked about the temperatures, what it's going to be like, how it's going to affect them. And then, obviously, a Florida team that just is going to be able to create explosive plays because of the speed and athleticism that they have in different places, mainly a quarterback. And that's going to be tough to defend. So, and you got some new pieces from that Utah team that are scheduled to really be guys that contribute heavily. One, Mahmoud Diabate, former Florida linebacker from Auburn High School, that I think they're going to try to use in different ways. And obviously that's going to be one that they need to feel it out and see exactly how it's going to work. So I think we're in line there with Utah, and that one being Florida week one. So if we now move to sort of the big three, and we talk about their most dangerous games, as we've already knocked off Air Force, Oklahoma, and Utah, these are teams that the Action Sports Network believes are going to be favored in every game they play this year. The Georgia Bulldogs. And exactly what they face off again this year. I feel like this task might be a little more simple or easier with Alabama and Ohio State because this Georgia schedule just does not look overly daunting, does not look extremely dangerous. And if you're going to pick out the most dangerous team for Georgia on their schedule this season, GMAC, which direction are you going to go?
At South Carolina. That would be the one that probably the most dangerous to me. Of course, South Carolina's a difficult place to play. It's a very, very tough spot. And when you look at the pieces that they're going to be inserting into the lineup, the good news is by that point, they will be battle-tested. I think Oregon's a dangerous one as well. If I had to pick number two, that would be number two. And if they played at any other place other than Atlanta, Georgia, that might be number one. Because I think Oregon's one of those teams like, dude, we got nothing to lose. Let's go show the SEC who's boss. We showed the Big Ten who daddy was last year. Let's show the SEC who daddy is now. Like, I think that's a great place to be as a team. Like, I love it. So if I'm them, I'm, you know, just throwing haymakers and we'll see what happens. If we lose, we lose. Everyone expects us to anyways. Who cares? Let's go into their house and see if we can't make some noise. So I think that's a big, big, big game. But by that point, and I think Georgia will be ready to rock and roll in that game, obviously. That's a really, really, really solid group on offense, and I think that they'll get to Bo Nix and they'll get to the pieces there in the middle of that offensive line and kind of push those guys around. So they will have not seen Oregon, that is. They will have not seen a defensive front like they're going to see, and they probably haven't seen that in years. And that includes Ohio State last year. So they're not... I'm not sure they know exactly what they're getting into, but either way, I think Georgia handles them, and that way they will at least been battle-tested before they head to South Carolina on the road. But South Carolina might be licking their wounds in that game, too. I mean, South Carolina, week two, is going to Arkansas. And that's a tough spot to go. So I still think it's at South Carolina, but like you said, I think this is a very manageable schedule for the Dogs.
That South Carolina game is interesting because you go back and you sort of take the Florida recipe against Alabama last year and offensively what Dan Mullen was able to do, utilizing multiple tight end sets, utilizing motions, shifts, players from a personnel standpoint that could fit in different spots and causing confusion, commotion, visual deception that way. I think South Carolina's offense could be able to do a lot of that this year. Now you insert a quarterback who has big-time ability and can go out and make some plays, not necessarily in just exactly how the play is designed to be made, that's dangerous. And being right there at Williams-Brice, of course, I think makes that a little bit more difficult. I think also, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Georgia's got to get through Coach Hatcher and Samford in that air raid week two. It's not just Oregon. And they're going to be tested week two there.
You better tell them.
They tested Florida last year. So, I think I know where Damien would go here, and there's a part of me that looked at that game and said, man, that one could be interesting. It can't be at Kentucky because that's such a bad matchup for Kentucky. Georgia plays such a similar style, and they're not going to – when you play two similar styles, you just got to be able to outman people, and I don't think Kentucky can just outman Georgia just yet. Coming off your bye week and going Florida, Tennessee, then at Davis-Wade – feels dangerous, but then I need to know the last time the air raid had a lot of success against, like, the Saban tree defense. because I just don't feel like we've seen that a ton. I don't feel like that defense has ever really struggled against that offense. So I can't go Mississippi State, even though it feels like it should be late in the year. But that's where I think Georgia might be rolling. I think Georgia's a little bit, if you're going to get them, I think early in the year is probably where you're going to want to attempt to get them. So I got to go with you. I think it's at South Carolina because of the quarterback, because of the personnel offensively. And they'll at least have a defensive line physically that should be able to put up a fight against what Georgia's going to bring along the offensive line. Damien, there's no question where you go with this one.
Of course.
This is easy for you, right?
Yeah, it's Rocky Top. Because, like, in all seriousness, the offense, it's
actually Sanford Stadium. It's not going to be in the mountains. It's going
to be. Well, I'm saying Tennessee, but I'm just saying they're going to be singing Rocky Top. But because, again, offensively.
Probably not much.
Offensively, I mean, they're going to take their shots. It's going to be a bunch of home runs thrown. It's just if they're going to hit them. It's just if we're going to hit them or not. And it's going to be fast paced. But again, like you said, when you flip it over to the defensive side of the ball, it's just make a stop. Just make a stop.
Okay. Just get one.
Just get one.
Trying to find that.
That point forward, you never know what may happen.
All right. So teams that are favored to win every game this year, Alabama and Ohio State are left. Who do we believe are the most dangerous teams individually on those two schedules? Who do you think that Ryan Day, Nick Saban are looking down that schedule and maybe the team that they see slotted somewhere gives him a little bit of anxiety and they think, all right, we got to come up with something a little bit different to be able to manage that one. In which case, I would say maybe hop over to your CBD store, because if it's anxiety for you or your pet, they have products that can help with that. If it's pain relief for you or your pet, arthritis, they have products that can help with that. Your CBD store has also developed a CBN plus oil that is CBN rich to help with sleep. So they mix CBN with lavender, valerian root, shown to be an amazing combination for anyone that wants to get a good night's rest. They have this in blueberry full spectrum, orange broad spectrum, and it's on the shelves now at your CBD store, the largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the world. Also, the Trim by SunMed, revolutionary new line of products in weight loss sciences, is on the shelves now at your CBD store. And keep in mind, everything on the shelf, USDA certified organic oil supplements. They've got that stamp seal. Those products are going to have to achieve a certain set of standards. The ones at your CBD store do just that. Visit one of their four locations today. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver, Trustful just off 459, and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store, where good health hits home. Bama Buckeyes, most dangerous games on the schedule. We'll tell you who we have for them next right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. Leaning into teams, that are expected to be favorites in every game they play this year, the 2022 college football season. 6:23 a.m. where I am, 8:23 a.m. where you guys are there, Birmingham, Alabama, right here on Jocks 94.5. Listen online, jocksfm.com. You can find the app in your app store, iPhone, Android. Download that for free and listen to us anywhere on the go.
When I have people on my roof, I want to make sure they're licensed and insured. I want to make sure that they're locally owned and operated. I want to have people on my roof that work where they live. I also love knowing that they own my roof for the first 5 years, thanks to that 5-year workmanship warranty. That's why I went with Yellowhammer Roofing. They do all those things, and I loved the fact that they were the first and only Owens Corning Platinum Preferred Contractor in the state to participate in the roof deployment project, where they replaced a roof for a veteran at no cost. These are good guys at Yellowhammer Roofing, and they're also our hometown professional team. So whether it's a roof replacement or repair, you need to call them today for your free assessment at 855-217-8887, or you can go online at yellowhammerroofing.com.
All right, I want you guys to be a part of this conversation as well. Most difficult games on the schedule, finally, for Alabama and Ohio State. We've gone through Air Force, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Utah, the teams that the Action Sports Network believes will be the most difficult games, the teams in college football that are going to be favored in every game. We're going through who we think the most dangerous games on those schedules are. And with Ohio State, GMAC, it's kind of similar to, I guess, Georgia, in that it becomes a little bit of a difficult practice as to which team you're going to look at and say, oh yeah, I have the most confidence that that team is going to be able to go out and be problematic. I could look at certain sides of the ball. of certain teams. Like, I love Wisconsin's front against Ohio State's O-line being able to be problematic, but game in the horseshoe and don't really know what to anticipate from Wisconsin's offense this year. So that's obviously not going to be one. I think Michigan State might be able to score. I think they get them at home, but we know what Michigan State was against the pass last year, and that is putrid. So it's another difficult practice with Ohio State, and I have a feeling I know where you're going to go, but also could be similar to what we did with Utah a few moments ago, and maybe Georgia. But where are you going with Ohio State as what you believe to be the most dangerous game on the schedule?
I think they have a very gettable schedule. I think the most dangerous game on the schedule is at Maryland. I think they'll be up for Penn State. I think they'll be up for Michigan State. I think Iowa is always difficult, but I like the matchup there. I don't know if Iowa can keep up unless they start turning the football over like crazy. I can't envision a scenario where Iowa is in that game. It's going to require Ohio State helping them out a lot. The only team that I see on their schedule that can score with them is Maryland. Now, Maryland is also a walking turnover at times, and they've definitely had their fair share of issues. And Talia, especially if they get behind, he'll start to force it. And that's not ideal because you kind of just got to weather the storm when you're playing against a team like Ohio State. Coupled that with the fact that they could be looking ahead, knowing the Michigan game is looming, and they're probably going to be pretty excited about having a revenge opportunity against the Wolverines. So I think the most dangerous game is Maryland. And I don't think Maryland's going to be more than a 7-win football team this year, but I think Maryland's a dangerous team because they can score. And they have some athleticism, and they have some guys that can run. And there's not every week Ohio State's going to be tested with against teams that can run with them. So that's the team I'm going with right now, and it's partly because of where it falls on the schedule and partly because of the identity that Maryland's created the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of just – think about that game because the spot that it's in, I agree with you, because you get Iowa after a bye week, you get Michigan State going into a bye, you get Penn State after Iowa, that's on the road, probably going to be a whiteout. We know what that game's going to be all about. It's hard not to be excited about that one. But going to College Park the week before you play Michigan at home, and I mean, think about the amount of emphasis going to be on that Michigan game this year from an Ohio State perspective. Man, they're going to hear about that game every single week. And yeah, there's a part of the conversation you could say they hear about it every day, but this one's going to be different for them. I mean, Harbaugh's already talking about it at Big Ten Media Days. You know they were asked about it. C.J. Stroud and company had to answer questions about it, and it's the last game. But you got to go face an offense. Also, adding Jacob Copen from Florida, going to have some weapons around Salia. And the defense, I do think, has at least brought in some pieces that could help it be a little bit better. And if you can get to the quarterback, you may be able to cause some problems for Ohio State this year, because I'm not with everybody else that says that offensive line is just going to be impenetrable. I don't see that. But I'm going to go to week one. I think it's Notre Dame. I think physically they can match up. I think Isaiah Foskey being able to provide some pass rush. You'll have a couple guys on that front that I think can get to the quarterback. And Notre Dame, most likely, because of some question marks at quarterback, it's going to take a ground-and-pound philosophy with four starters back on the offensive line. You add Michael Mayer at tight end, who can give you a little extra beef. I think they try to play ball control, kind of keep it away from Ohio State, try to limit the possessions. And you said it with Florida and Utah. Sometimes week one, you're not at your best. We've seen Ohio State struggle out of the gate, even though still win some games, but have games be closer than they should have been. And obviously that's a game that I think you got a head coach, Marcus Freeman, that can prove a lot right out of the gate. He's proven a lot in recruiting right now, but I think can make a statement week one against who most people believe is, you know, one A, one B in college football heading into this season. So I go Notre Dame as far as the most difficult or the most dangerous game for Ohio State this year. But I like your Maryland pick. It's one that I thought about. I just don't know defensively if Maryland's going to be able to put up enough. I could see that game being, you know, 73-65. And just literally my Kentucky-Tennessee last year, back and forth, just nobody getting any stops.
No.
But if you had to pick one, Damian, most dangerous game on that Ohio State schedule, which direction are you going?
Notre Dame. And you hit it right on the head. It's like you said, I feel as though they're going to try to, you know, impose their will, ground and pound it out. And Ohio State, to me, it was either going to be that or Michigan. I'm not really on the Maryland thing just because I kind of how Greg said, I feel as though toe for toe, I don't think Maryland will be able to consistently stop or find a stop against Ohio State more than I think Ohio State would have a chance to stop Maryland. But like you said, Notre Dame coming out the gate week one, and we've seen Ohio State, you know, like you said, stumble out the gate. Not stumble out the gate, but as far as show up a little bit sluggish a little bit. You go back and watch that Minnesota game from last year, and you see, I mean, it wasn't like before Ibrahim got hurt. It wasn't like they stopped him running the ball.
No.
And so, I mean, there's no telling how that game could have turned out. So I kind of look at that Notre Dame game as the one that would be the most dangerous, and they could find themselves on the losing end if they're not careful.
All right, so like I said,
in their house, though, I just have a difficult time thinking. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think Notre Dame is rock solid and will be good again this year. I think Buckner, their quarterback, is going to be really solid. He's got some wheels. Will be able to run and do some things that they haven't done from the quarterback spot in the past. Like, I think Notre Dame's a dangerous team for sure. But I wonder if Notre Dame's going to be able to get off the field defensively. I just don't see it. I think that Ohio State might be able to score on every possession. And unless Notre Dame,
we might say that for every game Ohio State plays this year.
But honestly, I think Notre Dame's got the Foskey kid. But if they had, I mean, they need some dudes up front in the middle of that defense that can really push the pocket. And I don't know if they have that right now. So you're right. I mean, I think that Ohio State's really, really good, and they can probably beat everybody that's on their schedule and should probably beat them comfortably. But also, man, if you got a solid pass rusher on the interior of that defense, or if you got a solid pass rusher on the edges, I think that's the one thing that could give Ohio State a lot of fits. Look at Michigan last year. And if you got some edge defenders, you got some weapons against them. And if you don't, you could obviously run into some issues.
All right, so we'll turn the page, get to the final team that the Action Sports Network believes will be favored in every game they play this year. Told you we want your feedback, 800-239-9569 or at Mac and Cube via Twitter. We'll go to the Bud Light Hotline now. Mark in Pelham wants to give us his most difficult game. Mark, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Great, man. Good to have you.
What's up, buddy?
So the whiteout game, just to me, at that point, that'll be like 7 or 8 games into the season. They'll have only played one road game out of, you know, they're starting with 5 straight road games, Ohio State is. The one road game before that will be Michigan State, which they absolutely waxed last year. I don't know if they stopped them.
Five straight home games, you mean?
Yeah, just to open the year for Ohio State. That's what
yeah.
I meant.
They and Auburn, same as don't play on the road until October the 8th. So, yeah.
It's crazy. So, I just think only having one game. Now, Stroud's tested. A lot of those guys are battle tested. Just that kind of atmosphere, only being the second road game of the year. If Penn State can get anything going, now if they go lay an egg against Auburn and they're, you know, 3-4 in that game, then all bets are off. But if they're 5-2, 6-1, that's going to be fever pitch. And I just think I know it's always looked at as a spot because of that entire atmosphere and the whole world knows about it. But second road game of the year, I just see that. Night, we know it's gonna be a night game, cold. I could just see that being a potential trip up spot because you got to start looking at stuff like that when the team is that much better. With Bama, I mean, I don't think they're gonna lose the game. But late in the year, Brian Kelly has made it known the only reason pretty much he came to this, took this job, not monetarily, but was to play Nick Saban in the regular season and to have a shot at beating him. Last year they played Bama very, very, very well, as we know. At home, Brian Kelly, looking at it like a Super Bowl, that could be a nighttime, could be a trip-up type spot. And then Lane Kiffin's going to throw the kitchen sink at you no matter what. So I think those two are potential for Bama. And then the whiteout against Ohio State, I think, is the only one that I can even remotely see. They're going to wax Michigan this year. That's not going to be a game. So those are my little spots for those two teams. But I see a clash with them at the end of the year. They're so much better than everybody, in my opinion.
There you go. Mark, great stuff, man. Appreciate the call. 800-239-9569 if you want to get in. 800-239-WJOX. All right, so there are a couple of tough spots that if you look at this and you say on this Alabama schedule could be a little bit tricky. At Texas week 2, game's going to be early. Obviously, heat will play a factor. I suppose both teams going to get that, though. But you would imagine that stadium going to be bumping. I mean, it's going to be loud, obnoxious, and a difficult place to play. I just don't know if, especially on the defensive side of the ball, Texas has anywhere near enough to be able to slow down Bryce Young and company, even if Alabama does have some of the issues up front on the offensive line that we've talked about, that we kind of anticipate. I go back to Tennessee on the road after you play at Arkansas and then Texas A&M. Could be somewhat tricky, but I don't know if Tennessee can even get two stops in that game to make it competitive and keep it from happening. Mississippi State, we saw what happened last year. I don't think that thing's going to be too different. The big deal with LSU, yeah, it's on the road. It's, you know, both teams have the bye week, and I look at that one, GMAC, as I don't know what LSU is going to be at that point in the year. We've talked about how they can be a momentum team. They're a team that needs things to be going their way. And with so many question marks, whether it's offensive line, secondary, quarterback, whatever that is, it's asking a lot for that team to just be in a great spot coming out of their bye week in the first weekend of November and say, oh, yeah, we're going to go toe-to-toe with Alabama. Now, completely revamping that defensive game plan last year, something nobody anticipated. And you thought LSU did an excellent job with that, but that's not going to happen after every bye week. You're not going to have enough guys that can even get that done in 2 weeks preparing for another game. I kind of agree with what Mark was saying, that Ole Miss game after that, you know, at LSU, then you go to Oxford. You could say, you know, throw the kitchen sink at him, but he did that last year. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking right now, for me, most dangerous game on the schedule, like how many quarterbacks that Alabama's going to face this year have a win against Alabama? Not a lot of teams on that schedule that can say that. So I'll take the team that kept it competitive last year. I'll take the team that's got a quarterback on their roster that has a win against Alabama. And if they stay healthy, I think a little bit of a formula that could make life difficult for Alabama and push them to the brink last year, I'm going to say it's Auburn in the last game of the season.
The only thing I would say, being in Brian Denny versus being in Jordan Harris is just a totally different animal, though. That's the only thing I would say. I think Auburn matches up pretty well. I mean, they can take, if they can get the stretch run going, they can, I guess, somewhat neutralize the end man of the line of scrimmage defensively. What's the best way to neutralize a great pass rusher? Run right at him. So there are, you know, you get Will Anderson thinking, you get, you know, Dallas thinking, shoot, man, just do off stretch zone, misdirection, bootlegs, go with jet sweeps around the edges, leave them unblocked. Do zone reads, leave them unblocked. I mean, like, that's the way you neutralize an edge rusher. You take away space and rhythm. And if you can take away space, which I'm sure they will, by doing condensed formations, things like that, that will be beneficial. You do some cracks, do some things like that, just to get them thinking. That can do an awful lot to allow you to, you know, neutralize that spot. And I think some coaches are just really stubborn, and I think a lot of coaches, Mississippi State being the best example, they're like, no, we'll just beat them with what we do. Well, I don't see Auburn as that type of team. I think they know and acknowledge that they are less talented at certain spots, and they will not allow those liabilities to come to the forefront in the biggest possible games. They didn't last year, and then look at what happened. So I think that game's dangerous. I think it's a whole heck of a lot less dangerous in Brian Denny than it is in Jordan Hare.
You can't argue that. Damian, where would you go? Alabama, most difficult game on the schedule. A couple close ones, interesting ones that you can choose from. Is it as easy for you to say October 15th against your world beater Vols in Knoxville?
As easy as the choice that would be. I'm actually going to Arkansas. I think from last year's game in Bryant Denny, I was more surprised at the way that Arkansas really like took it to them, and it's like they just didn't have the bodies and the five stars, four stars, the main guys to go out and just go tit for tat, pound for pound with Alabama, but they still showed enough fortitude, enough strength to really put Alabama in some difficult situations. And I just think that confidence and everything that they, you know, they're going to have getting them at home this time, I think if Fayetteville can, it depends where Arkansas is at that point. If Fayetteville can really get behind the Hogs and they can find a way to, and of course nobody's really going to stop them offensively, but they can find their chances, create a few turnovers, I think that game could be the most difficult for Alabama this year.
I don't think there's any doubt. All right, let's go to the Twitter feed, at Mac and Cube. You can always tweet in, be a part of the show, feedback, what you think, what's happening. BR549, emoji elephant, tweets in, At Mac and Q, Cole is showing his homerism today. AU has no chance. Emoji sideways, laughing face, crying.
No, that's just dumb. I think someone, I think the person like, tweeting might like be Coach showing homerism.
Said that last year. Royal
Pain the Iron Bowl. After all, the Iron Bowl is always dicey. I don't care what anyone says.
Well, some folks say that the Tennessee game just means more. So, Royal Pain tweets in, my concern for Bama is the three-game stretch of Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Tennessee.
Talk to them.
Not for one particular game, but the cumulative effect of two slobberknocker physical games leading into a road trip to a possibly high-as-a-kite Tennessee team slash stadium, injuries, etc. And a Bama hater is chiming in. As always, quality work. At Mac and Cube, do Bama fans slash jocks hosts? No, I don't know if I've ever had those actually grouped together as one, but today we're going to do that. Today we are taking the yellow putty and the red putty, and we are just jamming those together as jocks hosts and Bama fans are all as one. Ever think Bama won't go 12-0? Ole Miss has a legit shot, along with Auburn and Tennessee. I would pick Utah State, Vandy, ULM, or Austin Peay, but we all know why Bama picked them for a specific reason. Well, Bama didn't pick Vanderbilt, Bama hater. That's the league and how they put the schedules together. So not exactly how that one works, but we always appreciate your feedback, which is completely unbiased and fair every time that you chime in. Steve Impelham wants to join us on the Bud Light Hotline, join this discussion. Welcome in, Steve.
Greg, roll tide.
Roll tide, brother.
Great. And Cole, I delivered flowers to your home to you after the baby, if you remember me.
Absolutely, yes.
And I'm going to agree with Damian, but for a different reason. The reason that I am scared of Arkansas is if they're half decent or above, they are always a Bama. They are always a threat to be a Bama spoiler.
Interesting. And I think where you get them right there with A&M next, I mean, let's be honest. Like we talked about a couple of games, like the Michigan-Ohio State game. That's going to be that every year. But this year, it'll be ramped up even more. I mean, imagine what the discussion of Alabama and A&M is going to be this year. We're going to hear a lot about that game, and we're probably going to hear a lot about that game before the actual week of that game. So going to Fayetteville the week before that game, yeah, I could see where some of the distractions would play in.
I honestly think that A&M is not going to be a cakewalk, but I think there's going to be so much venom on the field that Jimbo's going to be shocked. Take care, gentlemen.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Really appreciate it. And thank you for the flowers as well. Don't know if they were from Blakely's bouquets, but probably should have been. All right, you want to continue to chime in. Most difficult games on the schedule of Air Force, Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Utah. The teams that the Action Sports Network believes will be favored in every game they play this year. We'll continue that conversation, take you around the SEC a little bit next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Welcome back in, McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 6:48 a.m. where I am, 8:48 a.m. where you guys are. Speaking of which, so I've been out in Nevada for the entire week, and it's kind of a makeup trip. We were supposed to come out in December and had to cancel it because of COVID, and so we didn't just want to burn the flights. So that's why we came out here to hang out with a buddy of mine, brought the kids, which we actually made it through the airport, GMAC, which was a miracle in and of itself the other day with delays that got off going early on. But I have found, because I'm having to get up earlier and set my alarm for the show, I don't know exactly what I call this, but I almost call it like two-a-day paranoia. Do you have those days, nights, or events where you have that fear of waking up, or I guess not waking up or oversleeping? Like I can remember when we had two-a-days, I think I would wake up every 10 minutes or every 15 minutes. It was like clockwork. Because you had to be on the field 5:30 for that first practice. And after about 2:50, you 3:11, 3:18, 3:35, 4:01, 4:16. You know, finally, I'm up. Forget it. I was just going to wake up. I'm done. I've had the same thing out here. Because I'm getting up so much earlier. I'm looking over my phone, 2:18, 3:01, 3:21. Like, fine, yep. I'm up. I'll just go. Let's go get ready.
The early flights get me. Like, because I, you know, I mean, it's not like flying to Birmingham is the easiest place to get to. I mean, it's a little tricky to get here. And the early flights stress me out badly. Especially when you get done with the night game and it's like you're going to bed at like 1:15 and then you got to wake up at 4 because your flight's at 5:20.
There's no way you're falling asleep.
No, gosh, no. And you're just sitting there twisting and turning. I've done it, I mean, for years. Never been able to do any of that stuff. It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. So you're right. I mean, it's not ideal. And West Coast is a grind, that's for sure.
I don't know what you call that. It's alarm clock paranoia, like alarm clock fear. I call it like two-a-day brain, just because that's when it really sticks out to me is just two-a-days, man. God, if you would have overslept and missed that first practice or not been out there, like that is not – and you didn't want to be rushed because then everybody's in the ankle tape line. And you can't get to the front. Like, you got to be out there. Of course, we had to be out there earlier than everybody else. You're like trying to – you're slamming your pads on. Going out there, like I can remember guys that just didn't get their ankles taped. I'm like, dude, that is a bad idea.
It's tough.
I don't care if you're late or not. Like, that's just not smart. And then just, you just, and they came back.
Extra
by and blew
15
like
minutes of sleep, so, and then you end your season. Like, is that where you want to be?
Not worth it. They did the air horn at the dorm, and whenever they did the air horn to wake everybody up, it wasn't enough time to do it. So we always had to get up earlier. But, man, I just remember every 15, 20 minutes waking up just thinking, if I cannot miss this. I can't miss this alarm. So I've had that this week. And it's just kind of – that's why I keep saying the time that's here and not there. Just because I'm just kind of – a little bit of fog. A little fog going on there. Just a touch. But we're trying
little
to
bit.
Manage.
A little bit.
Just a smidge. A couple other folks chiming in on our previous conversation via Twitter. John Mac Hill tweets in, at John Trill with a J.
Okay.
Y'all are funny picking every team, but the team that beat Bama with a freshman quarterback on third start, Texas A&M, is better this year. Bama is not, no matter what y'all say.
Ooh.
Why is Texas A&M better this year, though? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, it's interesting
because
he says I'm funny, but I actually picked the team who has the guy he's referencing
right.
as the most yes. dangerous game. Yeah, so I don't know why that's laughable, but... Like, the guy you're pointing out as to why that can happen is the guy, the reason I selected the team that I selected, because that guy that you're referencing is actually playing on that team now. But, yeah, okay, good.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I just don't understand. Like, I'm all about endless optimism and hope springs eternal. I'm all about it. You will not find any pushback from me. I want everyone to feel great about their team right now. But I do have concerns about Texas A&M being better this year. And I think they're going to be fine next year. But to rely on freshmen, I think is a tough thing to do. And I don't see like marked major improvement this year at Texas A&M. I think they'll be about the same. But about the same ain't going to cut it, you know, especially when you know they're going to have Bama's attention. How many teams have beaten Bama 2 years in a row? That would be, what, one? Ole Miss. 14-15?
Ole Miss did it. Yeah.
I think that's the only one. Auburn, well, if you want to take into account like the 2007, you know, 2006, 2007, like pre-Saban era, there's not many. So either way, it's, you know, it's hard to do it once, let alone do it twice in consecutive years. There's not many that have done it. Maybe A&M's got the recipe. We'll find out. But I think A&M is also one of those teams that could peak and always be dangerous, but they also have a little bit of front runner in them as well. So maybe they iron some of that out this year and they don't play high as high and low as low as they did at times last year.
Quickly, let's go to Steve in Pelham. You got about a minute, Steve. What's on your mind?
No, it's Keller, Birmingham.
Keller in Birmingham.
Hey.
What's up, Keller?
Hey, good morning. Hey, just real quick, I'm surprised none of you guys picked LSU. I mean, this is a team that came into Bryant-Denny last year. Coach O on the way out the door. Playmakers dropping off the team left and right. And they hung with Alabama till pretty much the very end. You know, this isn't going to be a team that's going to come in and shy away from a challenge like this. And Brian Kelly, you know, this is a game that he's going to have circled on his calendar all season. This is going to be a place where he wants to prove that he can hang in with the big dogs in the SEC. And, Greg, as you know firsthand, Death Valley is one of the toughest places to play in the country. So I think LSU, especially towards the back half of the season, is going to be a really tough one.
I think it's an interesting thought. The main reason I didn't do it is because I sat down with Durante Jones the following week and talked to the LSU staff about how they implemented that new defense, how they rebuilt it, and how they did that. And I just don't think that they'll have the veterans on that side of the ball at certain spots to be able to do it again. And that's dangerous. That's high-risk football, man. You go reinvent your defense and play cover zero for the majority of the game against a team that has the weapons that Alabama did. I mean, it worked to an extent in that game, but it's not always going to play out that way. And I just don't know if you can make a living thinking you're just going to do that every time you go play a certain team over the course of a season coming off a bye. All right, when we come back, Wimp Sanderson, want to get his thoughts on.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.